Hello and welcome again to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett.
We need you to step up. We need you to get in the game. We need you to make God known and let His beauty be seen to the four corners of the globe.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, we've heard it said. It's interesting, isn't it, that we can all recognise beauty in its various forms? It's built into us. Any guesses as to how? Tonight, as part of the Beauty Project, Dr. Corbett finds beauty in songs.
Our highest assurance of the goodness of providence seems to me to rest in the flowers. All other things, our powers, our desires, our food, are all really necessary for our existence in the first instance. But this rose is an extra. Its smell and its colour are an embellishment of life, not a condition of it. It is only goodness which gives extras, and so I say again that we have much to hope from the flowers.
And it was beautiful. The sun was shining, the cows were in the paddock, it was silent, and you see the mountains, the valleys, the hills. And I just sat there and said, God, this is heaven. This is what heaven would be like. It is so beautiful. You are so beautiful. I could just sit here and I just feel I'm totally in your presence, and there is no one else in the whole world but just you and me.
Beautiful thing you've ever seen, heard, or experienced?
I'd say probably the most beautiful thing I've ever seen was one time we were in New Zealand and I was learning to ski at top of Coronet, and we got there in the morning and you could see down the entire valley, and there was just like snow-capped mountains everywhere, and there was just like fog rolling over Queenstown. It was really, really gorgeous.
One of the surprising things for me during this beauty project is how much interest was created with our poetry section. When we looked at how people are able to capture something of the beauty of God through poetic words, it sparked something in some of the people in our church. Here's one poem that I received. In years gone by, I didn't care about my fellow man. I just lived my life selfishly, like sand running through my hand. It wasn't until later on in life that I came to see that there was much greater power well above me. I suddenly came to realise that I had a Lord and a Saviour who didn't care of my past way of life or of my behaviour. He laid his arms around me and held me close to him and whispered in my ear why I should follow him. I've known you longer than your parents, for it was me that moulded you. And I knew that one day you would love me through and through. I put you through some hard times to test your true being, to see if it was I or Satan you were seeing. I knew that you would struggle sometimes, but that was in my plan, to test your true love for me as I took you by the hand. I suddenly realized the fool I was that lived from day to day, instead of knowing the precious words my Lord had to say. Today I tremble looking at my past and thank the Lord above that I'm so blessed to have his eternal love. For if it were not for him that made me aware, I don't think I would be here today with the people that care. It's hard to find the words to say to get my message through, but if you take the time to ask the Lord, he will also love you. For I cannot express it clear enough, and please take it from me, that without the Lord in your life, you will never see. For it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. Our precious Lord is there to call you his daughter or his son. When reading the gospel, it is very plain to see that the words have been written there for you and for me. Sometimes it gets confusing, and sometimes hard to understand, but our Lord is always there to give you his helping hand. Now I live day to day with each precious breath I take, and deeply thank my Lord for excusing my mistakes. And if there is only one thing left for me to say, is that I am eternally grateful that my precious Lord is with me each and every day.
What's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen or heard or read or smelled?
I don't know.
You don't know?
For me, I like listening to music and sometimes just like listening to some songs that have orchestras and choirs, and that's like, for me, that's just beauty.
There's something in the human soul that resonates with music. We like to surround ourselves with music. Music is the international language. They say it's the international language of love, but I actually think it's just the international language. We all resonate with really good music. Every culture of the world has a form of music. It's music that can not only touch the mind, it's music that can touch the soul like no other form of art.
Guitar, 6 strings, and when played appropriately, the guitar makes a really pleasant sound. I've had this guitar for nearly 30 years, and it's travelled with me around Australia, and it's been a beautiful instrument. Just as sights and scenes and art can have a very powerful impact on the eye and on the mind and the heart as well, music does that in a different way. Just as art and landscapes and scenery can cause us to marvel at its beauty and to recognize that there must be a beautiful creator who has established this. In a similar way, music is an art form that captures the mind, it touches the heart and stirs the soul. But consider for a moment how music reflects who God is as well. When we look at the colours of nature and the world around us, it tells us something about God. Everything is touched with beauty. In music, if God was just a single, eternally solitary being, the most pleasing sound to us created in his image would be something like this. A monotone, just monotone. If God was a single, solitary, eternally solitary being, and we're created in his image, that would be the most pleasing sound to our ear. But the Bible reveals that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's not just a single note. God is a harmony. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods, one God, but in three persons. And so the harmony of music reflects the nature of God. It reflects who God is. Because music uniquely presents the beauty of God, especially in the Trinitarian concept of God, the Trinity is reflected in harmony, the melody of music, and the way the rhythm and the melody and the harmonies all work together. This is an aspect of God's beauty. You'd expect then that there would be people of deep giftedness and deep intellectual capacity and the ability to put this to music, that we would find examples of this throughout history. And indeed we do. Considered the greatest of all composers was somebody who had a deep love for God. They were besotted with God and wanted to express their love of God and express his beauty through music in a way that captured the heart, the mind, and stirred the soul. Johann Sebastian Bach was born in Germany in 1685 and lived until 1750. He was relatively unknown outside of his circles in Germany. But after he died, his music took off like wildfire as people recognized the deep intellectual and spiritual quality to his music.
When the biologist Lewis Thomas was asked what message he thought mankind should take to other civilizations in space, he replied, "I would send the complete works of Johann Sebastian Bach." But that would be boasting. Bach believed that the aim and final reason of music should be none else but the glory of God and the recreation of the mind. His sacred and secular music is seen as both the culmination of the Baroque era and the beginning of the modern age, perhaps the most performed musical accompaniment to the Christian rites of passage, of birth, marriage, and death in Western culture.
It was Johann Sebastian Bach who was one of the first pioneers of taking music and expressing it not just emotionally, not just with the melody, but with the words, the melody, the harmony. He developed a style that was deeply intellectual as well. His music has been analysed by mathematicians and marvelled at. It was Bach that recognised that music should somehow convey the majesty, the wonder, the glory of God, so that God's beauty is expressed in a way that appeals to the mind and deeply to the heart, but also moves the soul. Around the same time, in fact in the same year, and not too far away from where Johann Sebastian Bach was born, another of the greatest composers, considered to be the second greatest composer of all time, Frederick Handel, was born. He moved to England and became a prolific composer, but his greatest work reflects a deep work that God himself was doing in his life. The music was called The Messiah. For about another 100 years after the death of Bach and after the time of Frederick Handel, that the idea that music could be very melodic and harmonious as well as deep, meaningful and intellectual with its words were combined, and Christians began to realise the power of having music with profound words. We see after 1850, around 1870 and on, that Christians began to use music to proclaim the gospel. They began to use music in a way that conveyed the beauty of God, but also the message of God, which is a beautiful message. And the Bible says that beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And this applies no more clearly than to those who are able to present the gospel in music with melody and words.
Well, here I am in the parish church in the market town of Olney in Buckinghamshire, England. This is where John Newton lived for 17 years, and this is where he preached, within these walls. It's fairly safe to say that his hymn, Amazing Grace, is sung hundreds of times a day around the world, and that it's become even more of an anthem of comfort and hope in these troubled times. Let's learn the story of John Newton and Amazing Grace.
Over 200 years ago, a 47-year-old local parish minister left his vicarage for a short walk across the village green to his church. It was January the 1st, 1773, a Friday morning in this picturesque market town of Olney in the heart of Buckinghamshire. The congregation filed in to hear the message that would mark the start of the new year. What the townsfolk were to hear was a sermon on God's redeeming grace. The grace that redeemed the deliverer of that sermon, John Newton, from a life of debauchery and slave trading to one of selfless service to the church, where he was to become a powerful voice in the anti-slavery movement. These original handwritten notes show that his thoughts for the sermon that morning revolved around how we should respond to the notion of God's bountiful goodness and mercy. To complement his message of grace, redemption, and hope, that morning, John Newton introduced his new hymn.
Amazing Grace has always been much loved here in Scotland, and indeed not so long ago it got into the hit parade when it was recorded by the pipes and drums of one of our Scottish regiments. But it's perhaps most effective when it's just played by a lone piper.
You may not feel very musical, but you're created in the image of a very musical God. The descriptions that we have of heaven reveal that heaven is filled with music. A quick read through the book of Revelation, which says a lot about heaven, says that it's angels, when they are ministering around God, that their voices are like music. The Apostle Paul was granted a special privileged hearing of what was happening in heaven, and he was told that he couldn't repeat it. In fact, he said he heard things too wonderful to repeat. Heaven is filled with music. It's interesting that there's no record of angels singing. When angels speak, it's musical. Heaven is filled with angelic music, and when we enter into God's presence, we do so in the same way that angels enter into heaven, musically. The Bible says in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." So you don't even have to be able to hold a note. You don't even have to be musical to enter into the worship presence of God through music. The Bible says, just make a joyful noise. Your joyful noise becomes like sweet music to our God. It says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. It's been a long tradition in Christianity to worship God with singing. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians and to the Ephesians that whenever they meet, they should sing. They should exchange hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Singing with music is a deeply Christian form of worship. There are some people who regard music as evil because it moves the emotions, it moves the heart. It does. And God wants our emotions and our hearts moved toward him, and music helps to do that. Under the Old Covenant, the musicians and singers were given a preeminent role in service in the temple because music is so important to God. He wanted it to be an expression of how people were to worship. When people came to the tabernacle to present their sacrifices, they would be surrounded by sweet music, music to remind them of the very presence of God. Psalm 100 goes on and says this, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And reminiscent of coming into the tabernacle where you would come through the gate to gain entrance, it says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So the Bible tells us to worship God, to make God known through music, and to be able to use music to capture our heart and our mind, so that we can worship God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. It's no mistake that when we come into a church, we start our service with worship. We start our service with music. It's music that brings us into the presence of God. The closing Psalms of the Bible put it this way in Psalm 149, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. So when we sing and when we make music in order to worship God, the Bible says that we are giving God pleasure. So it's, again, if you have been reluctant to enter into singing, if you've been reluctant to enter into the music experience of church worship, can I encourage you, capture something of the beauty of God through music and song. He adorns the humble with salvation. Verse 5, let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands. So worship has a role in spiritual warfare. When we worship, we're declaring the beauty of God. We're declaring the message of God. But we're also declaring something to the heavenly realms that the Bible seems to indicate is like warfare. We read here, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honour. So worshipping God with singing and music is an honour, it says, for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. And the closing psalm of the Bible puts it this way. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in church, more than any other place, there should be good, beautiful music. And God knows we need fresh, good, modern music. Music that's beautiful. Music that moves the heart. It moves the mind. It captures the soul. And it points all of the faculties within us, heart, mind, and soul, to God, to be caught up in his beauty. When we worship, we are acknowledging that God is beautiful. The Bible uses those words, glory, majesty, wonder, splendor, all to describe the beauty of God. And the psalmist said that when we do this, as we sing a new song to the Lord, that people will see and they will come to know God. And this is something that we're beginning to realize, that our music and our worship Our heartfelt worship is very powerfully evangelistic. Now, maybe there are people who have the gift of music. You have the gift of melody, the gift of songwriting. We need you. We need you to step up. We need you to get in the game. We need you to make God known and let His beauty be seen to the four corners of the globe. Music is a missionary that can get in behind closed doors. Music can get into people's homes. Music can get into people's cars. Music can get into people's iPods. It can get into people's classrooms. Music can get behind locked doors. Music can go where a preacher can't go. Music is powerful. Combine it with a message, with appropriate words, and we have something that exquisitely presents the beauty of God. We need people to be more musical to the glory of God. Is that you? If it is, step up. Make this day a day of resolution. And perhaps you're here and you've never really entered into worship in singing and music. Perhaps for you this is just the boring part, the routine part of the service. God forbid that continue. You need to recognize that God regards music as a beautiful way to represent Him. Music is something that represents the beauty and the heart of God. And we need to enter in. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise. You may be off key, you may be flat, you may be sharp, you may be out of time. But the Bible says you worship God with your heart. Your noise is beautiful and gives God pleasure. Today, make a resolution. I'm going to worship God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Let today be a day of worship. Let your mouth declare the praises of God. And if you're a musician and you're on the stage and you're worshiping God with your instrument, do it for His glory. You're not showcasing your talent. You're displaying the beauty of God through your instrument. Do it for His glory. The world needs to hear of the beauty of God through music.
The beauty of songs. Music has long been a means of expressing the beauty we feel and want to share. The Beauty Project concludes next week with Saints, Beauty Displayed Through People. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, The Beauty Project Part 4, The Beauty of Songs, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.